thing, okay? Go with me to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to look at verses 36 through 38, and I'm going to pull out some things that as I meditated on what I felt God really wanted to say to you in this service, some verses stuck out to me. And what I've learned about the Word of God is that you can read it for a lifetime, and it's going to take on different types of meanings as you get older in the Lord. What you read this year, you may look at it again next year, and it take on a whole different meaning. I encourage you to get into the Word of God. When you get into the Word of God gets into you. This is the only thing that you can count on is His Word. It will stand alone. So I'm going to set the scene for you. Jesus is here, and He is fixing to be arrested, and so He's fixing to begin to pray. And it says, "Then Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.'" And so Jesus, in this moment, we're going to see where He was very, very troubled. He was very heavy-hearted, and He had some people very close to Him, and He said, "Come with me and help me." So He says, He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with Him, and He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Sorrowful and troubled. And then He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." When I was reading over these verses, the Lord began to speak to me, and He said, "Kelly, you're going to have people in your congregation on Easter Sunday, and you know, there's never going to be another service like this." And I say that because never again, except for today, will there be the exact same people under this roof again. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing where next year, this one may be here and this one may not be. There'll be new people and all that. Right here in this moment, here's what I can tell you, is there's some people that can relate to how Jesus was feeling in this moment. I believe that there are people right here that are very sorrowful and very troubled, and you are telling God, "God, I cannot take this one more day. Lord, I feel very broken in my life. God, I'm going through a very hard season, and there's some things that I've been trying to work my way through, and I'm struggling." See, there's things in your life that are going to come. There's seasons that come. They're going to go, but when you're going through them, they're very uncomfortable. And so I want to minister to that person today where you're saying, "God, I am hurting. I'm in a season of my life where things aren't good for me right now. I believe that mental health is lacking in the hearts and the lives and in the minds of many, many folks. All over the nation, people are struggling, and the way that they're struggling is in their mind. Is in their mind. Would y'all mind if I said a quick prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I pray mental health on every person in this congregation. Lord, if they're watching on Facebook, I plead the blood of Jesus right now over the minds of people. God, You said in Your Word that You gave us power, that You gave us love, and Father God, most importantly, You gave us a sound mind. So I speak that sound mind on everybody right now. Lord, when the enemy wants to come in and whisper lies, I speak to those lies right now, and I bind them up in the name of Jesus. God, I thank You that people begin to see a turnaround in their heart and in their mind right now. I speak to depression and I tell it to go right now. I speak to anxiety right now and I tell it has to go. It has to go right now. I speak to stress and worry and irritation and aggravation and hopelessness right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to it. I tell it's got to go right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see Jesus here, and He is sorrowful, and He's troubled, and He says something that's very important here. He says, "My heart is overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed." Have you felt that within the last week? Has there been some things, and you say, "I am overwhelmed with some things in my life. The more I try to just get through them, the more they brush up, and they try to take me over." I want to minister to that person today. Because for as many didn't raise your hands, look here. This message is going to be right on the money. Because I'm not going to say anything God don't want to say, but make no mistake, everything that he once said, it's going to be left here today. It's going to be left here today. God loves you today. He loves you, and what I can tell you is that God can relate to you. He can relate to you, and he can relate to you because he sent his son to dwell among us. And because of that, he has felt, Joe, everything that we feel. He feels it. He says it right here in his word. He began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. When you get this way in your life, it's because there's a buildup. You don't just get overwhelmed and full of hurt and discouragement all in one sitting. Many, many times it's because there's a buildup. For Jesus, he knew there was going to be some things happen to him. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew that the people that loved him the most were going to stab him in the back. They were going to deny him. They were going to let him down. That was all a part of it. That was all a part of it. I'm going to speak some truth into your life this morning. There are things that has happened to you, and they haven't been pleasant, but it's all been a part of your story. Don't be angry at God for those things. Don't be angry at the person that did you wrong. I'm going to ask you this morning to let it go. To let it go. If you can let it go, God's going to take it up. He cannot take it up until you let it go. Amen. I speak forgiveness in your life. Forgiveness will set you free. And so, it was a buildup for him. He knew certain things were going to happen, and there were layers of it. How many of you have ever had a moment where you talked about your feelings? I know we hate to do that. How many of you just love to have a good cry session, talk about your feelings and get gushy? I mean, I do. I like it because I'm a very extroverted person. I like to get all my business out there. I don't even care. But the more you talk about things, the more you learn about yourself, because when you start pouring your heart out, you start saying things that you don't even know about yourself. Anybody ever had that experience? I was talking to Dad the other day, and Jody, I had an epiphany just when I was talking to him, and I heard myself say something that was a problem of mine, and I never realized it till I was talking to him about it. I'm not going to tell you what it was. That's personal. I'm just kidding with you. But some of you are saying, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it. I've had enough. I can't take one more day. See, God knows what you've been saying because he's been hearing you. He hears everything that you're saying. But I want to tell you something this morning. You can do it. You can. And if you will change your confession, that's going to help you. You can do it. Because Jesus, at his most overwhelmed self, he still finished what he started. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to look at verses 3 through 6. I'm ministering this morning to that person that when you go to sleep at night, everything just meet you right there in that place, and you get sad over it, you get grieved over it. You're asking God, Lord, how long is it going to be this way? God, will it always be this hard? Is it always going to be this difficult? Is it always going to hurt so bad? And I want to minister to that person, because what I'm telling you right now is there is hope. And no storm is going to last forever. There is an expiration date for what you are going through right now. You're going to have to trust God with it. You're going to have to understand that there are things that even Christ himself, while he was here on this earth, he went through. That's why the Word of God says, in this life, you're going to have trial and you're going to have tribulation. See, God never came to tell you that everything was going to be great all the time, because it's not. Man, I wish I could get up here every Sunday and just tell you how great everything was, but you know what? The world don't need that. The world needs somebody that'll just get up and say how it is, but you know what? At the end of the day, hey, this is how it is. But there's hope, because God will turn it around. God will perfect it. Isaiah chapter 53, let's look at verses 3 through 6. He was despised and rejected by men. I'm going to break this verse down. He was despised and rejected by men. Sometimes what you're going through is because you can't handle rejection. We get so out of shape if we feel like somebody has not smiled at us just the right way in Walmart. Now, I'm going to take a truth poll right here and right now. How many of you, you've come into contact with somebody or something, and they didn't smile at you just the right way or something, and you started thinking weird thoughts in your brain? Well, they don't like me anymore. They hate my guts. If you've done that, I want you to raise your hand. Okay? And here's what I'm going to tell you, and I got both hands up. I get all up in my feelings. I eat those feelings too. That's why I'm wearing a romper today. It's a one piece. Lots of room to grow. If you get my drift. Something happens to you when you get almost 40. You start blossoming. That you take that, Leslie, and you can use it from now on. You blossom. That's what I've been telling myself. I'm going to have to tell myself some different things because that ain't been working. But some of why we are going through some sad parts in our life is because we feel bad because people have not accepted us. I'm going to tell you something. If they didn't accept Christ completely, you're going to have to get over needing people's approval. Okay? You're going to have to wean yourself off of having to have the approval of man constantly. Because you're never going to get it. There's going to be people in your life. They're not going to be for you. Okay? Everybody has them. You cannot get messed up over them. Why are we talking about this today? We are talking about real life today. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And I want to tell you something. Whatever's going on in your life today, whatever's making you sad, whatever's been discouraging, whatever's been hurtful, whatever's made you angry, whatever's made you bitter, he is familiar with all of those feelings. He is familiar with how you feel because he came here and he felt those same things. He who knew no sin became sin. It's not even that he died on the cross for sin. We know that he did that. But he took it a step further because he not only died for the sin, but he became the sin. That's how much you're loved in here this morning, is that he became it. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. What does that mean? We didn't think nothing special of him. The Savior of the whole world. People were like, it's no big deal. Surely, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. The Word of God here says, surely. What does that mean? It was a for sure thing. For sure. Surely, he took up our infirmities. Now, I don't know how you believe, but I am going to speak the Word of God to you and over you. And I'm going to explain to you that you have power when you get into the Word of God and you begin to take these verses and apply them to your life. They will change your life. When an infirmity tries to come on your body, you need to repeat this verse to yourself over and over. Surely he took up my infirmity. Surely he did that. Okay? And he carried our sorrows. I had to have a conversation with God the other day, and I was very sad. How many of you can say, there's been some time here in the last few years, maybe it's just been the last year, but you've just gone through some things, and they hurt. They hurt you on the inside. I feel you. And I told God, I said, God, I've got a lot of sorrow in my life, and I don't know why, because you already said you would carry that. Are you carrying around sadness and sorrow today that you don't have to? Give it to God. Why? Because the Word of God says that surely He took up our infirmities and He carried our sorrows. Yet, we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him and afflicted. Verse 5. But He was pierced for our transgressions, and He was crushed for our sin. How many of you've felt crushed over some situations in your life over the past 2 to 3 years? There's just been some things that just crushed you and hurt you and made you really think about life. I want to speak to that person, and I very humbly say to you, do not be mad at God. Don't be mad at Him. Don't be mad at Him. He is turning everything around for your good. Don't be mad at Him. Give God time to work on your situation, but understand this. He was crushed for you. For you. If I can get you to take that so personal this morning, we can shake off some of that numbness that many of us walk around with every single day. You notice how people, they're not even like people anymore. They're just robotic. The only time you see a personality is when they have the audacity to post something stupid on Facebook. I said we're going to keep it real. Y'all ain't ever noticed that? I mean, come on now. How many of you got Facebook? Come on. All right. How many of you know, there's people that I wonder about, and I'm like, do they have a personality, or are they this bland? And Barbara, the truth of the matter is, they only have a personality when they don't have to face people they talk about. Now, I done went to meddling all on Easter Sunday, but I told you we's going to keep it real. Let me explain it for you. Man, people are walking around numbed over. Can't feel nothing. Can't feel the presence of God. Can't hear God directing them. Don't know what to do. If I ask 10 people, what is God doing in your life? I'm not sure one person could tell exactly what God was trying to do. That's an important thing to know. You need to know what God is doing in your life. You need to have some direction as to where God's trying to take you. And so it says here, He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. By His wounds, we are healed. By His wounds, we are healed. When sickness wants to come over your body, I pray that you can hear me saying this today. You need to begin to lay hands on yourself and speak over yourself. By His wounds, I'm healed. I speak healing over my life right now in the name of Jesus. See, some of us, it's not that we have a physical problem. It's that we have some emotional, deep hurts and deep scars. And for that person, I am telling you today, lay hands on yourself and say, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing over my life right now. I speak healing over my mind right now. I speak healing over my emotions right now. I speak healing over my attitude right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask You to direct my steps. God, I ask that You'd keep me in line. Lord, when I want to get out of Your will, God, I ask that You'd make me that sheep that can hear Your voice. See, are you a sheep? Are you a goat? Are you a wolf? What are you? Because the Word of God describes sheep as this: my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. You know how many times the voice of the enemy wants to come to you and get you off track? You know how many times the enemy wants to get you all worked up and lose your religion and give somebody a piece of your mind just to get you up out of the will of God? Let me explain something. You need all the pieces of your mind you can keep. Glory. You need them pieces. You need as many of them as you can keep. Don't give somebody a piece of your mind. Why? They don't deserve it. You keep yourself. Be a kept person. Here's verse 6, and I love it. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The word says everybody, every person, we've all gone astray. What does that mean? There's going to be times where you get on the wrong track. You get off when you zigged when you should have zagged. When you find yourself in one of those places in your life, ask God to meet you right in that place and to pull you back, put you right back where you should be. If you relapse, renounce it, denounce it, ask God to come into that place. You can be addicted to more than just substance and drugs and stuff like that. You know how many people are addicted to a wrong pattern of thinking, and that's why they're always in a mood? If you're telling yourself, this ain't never going to get better, let me tell you something, it's never going to get better. If you keep telling yourself that the mother-in-law you can't stand, which, by the way, I love mine, so I'm not using that as an example, but if you keep saying, my mother-in-law is such a jerk, she's never going to change, guess what? You're going to always think she's a jerk, and you're going to always think that she's not going to change. Why? Because you are telling yourself that, and you're not going to believe any different. Until your words start aligning with what's supposed to go on in your life, you're going to be stuck in a place that isn't good for you. Speak life over yourself. Go with me now to John chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 28 through 30. Here's Jesus. He's on the cross. And he's having a conversation. And I want to tell you, you know, the verse we just read, it said, we all like sheep have gone astray. I want to go back to that. I don't consider myself, now this may blow your mind, and if you're super religious, you're going to get offended at what I'm about to say. You're going to have to bear with me. But I don't consider myself a religious person. But I do consider myself a saved person. Amen. I'm going to explain to you why I make that comment. There's some that would say, unless you look a certain way, unless you speak a certain way, unless you get baptized in this specific denomination, unless you do this, and look here, I've left God to make all those decisions for me. And I've stopped judging stuff. Because religion does not draw people in. It excludes them. Somebody asked me one time, is it okay if I'm a member of the church but I smoke? Let me explain something to you. How many of you know that this church has a very large food ministry? There are times where some of my volunteers, now some of you just aren't going to like it and you're going to have to get over it. But there are some times where some of my volunteers that do smoke, Carolyn, they get stressed. And you know what I tell them? Smoke break. Now, if you're religious, you're telling yourself right now, I ain't never going back to that heifer's church. Look here, honey, you wouldn't like it here anyways. I can tell you that. That ain't the only thing I'll say to get you irritated with me. I promise you. And I looked at this person like they had three heads, and I said, well, first of all, it is none of my business whether you smoke or not. But what I can tell you is wherever you're going, you might get there faster. And no, if you smoke, you can still be up in the church because I don't do the membership thing either. I don't have a membership ceremony here. If you come here more than 3 times, I'm adopting you and you're in the family. That's how it is. Why? Because I got news for you. Heaven is not sectioned off. Everybody under the sound of my voice, what I'm going to ask you to do today, you're going to remember this message because I've said some very real things to you. Love God. Be a saved person. Love Him. The things that you cannot get under the blood, that you can't forgive, the things that you think is in between you and God, work on it. God loves you. God is not sitting there holding things against you. If you're a person and you're in here today and you're saying, I've been away from God for a long time, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to remind you of the verse that we read. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. If you're sitting there today and you're saying, I've been away from God, here's what I'm going to tell you. Get back to Him. Pick up right where you left off. Go to Him again. Go to Him again. I preach in the jail every Monday to the women. And I tell them in there, I expect y'all to have Bible study up in here on days that I'm not here. Because you don't need a preacher to lead you to God. It's a personal relationship with God that you're going to have to work out. And if you're in here today and you're saying, you know what, I'm here because it's Easter. I don't care why you're here. I'm just glad you're here. Okay? And what I'm going to tell you is if you've been away from Him, get right back to Him. Love on Him. Why? Because He's waiting for you. He misses you. John chapter 19, verse 28. Here He is. He's on the cross. He's been crucified. He's been flogged. He's been denied. He's been abandoned. He's been beaten beyond recognition. He's been mocked. It could not have happened to a more perfect person. He has no regret. No regret. I was walking through my house yesterday, and I made a note to myself in my notebook, and it says, Kelly, give all of your regret to God. I want to minister to that person right now, and you're living in a world of regret. I want to tell you something. The regret won't do you any good. Give it to Christ. If you're sitting there in your life, and you're hurting because life is not what you expected it to be, you know, I always tell people, one of the things that you're going to have to mourn is how you thought your life was going to be. How many of you've lived long enough where there's been things happen and they were not what you wanted and they happened anyways? It's those things that hurt you so bad on the inside. And I'm going to explain to you today. I'm going to encourage you today. Let those things be God's. Let them have them. Because whatever it is that you thought, God has better. God has better. Give that idea to the Lord and tell God, God, you give me what you have for me. Lord, I had an idea of what I wanted. I had an idea of what I thought. But God, I'm going to give you the choice to give me whatever you want me to have, whatever you want me to do with my life. God, I give that to you right now. John chapter 19, verse 28. Later, knowing all was now completed, later, knowing that all was now completed, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Better. That's not me saying that. That's a verse out of the Word of God. Better is the end of a thing. Here's Jesus later knowing that all was now completed. And so that the Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. I am thirsty. What was he really saying? I still have that human part inside of me. I made a choice. I made a choice to come down here and give my life for people. And I've done that. I've completed what my Father in heaven sent me to do. And I am thirsty. I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He gave it up. He gave it up. He gave it up. He does not regret you. I don't care how bad you've messed up. I don't care how bad you think that you've done in your life. Look here. If you have breath inside of you, there's so much hope and purpose for you. Don't let whatever has gone on that you feel guilty about, that you feel broken about, that you feel embarrassed about, don't let anything hold you back. His last words, "It is finished. It is finished." Several months ago, God gave me this message. I was sitting right by my husband, and I was looking. It was a Wednesday night. Dad was preaching, and I began to see this little backdrop here, and God just whispered inside of my spirit, "Kelly, on Easter, I want you to tell them that I want them to finish. I want them to finish. It is finished." Jesus' last words, "It is finished. I came and I did what I was supposed to do." I can only imagine what stories could be told, hurts could be told, things that have happened in your life. I'm going to ask you right now, finish. Finish. Don't let life get you so upset where you just give up. Finish. You have a Savior that finished what He started so you could finish. So you could finish. You've got everything that it takes to finish, and not just finish, but finish strong. Christ finished strong. And you know how we know that? Because He said, when it was all said and done, He gave His Spirit up. It wasn't taken from Him. He gave it. He completed everything that He came to do. And Miss Brenda, after He completed it, He said, "I'm thirsty, and it's finished." And He made the choice. He gave His Spirit up. He gave it. Finish. You're here for a purpose. Though you may feel overwhelmed, troubled, sorrowful, talk to Him. Talk to Him. And finish. Finish. Go with me to John chapter 19, verse 31 through 34. "Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down." So here was three people on the cross. A criminal, Jesus, another criminal. He had conversations with both of them. One of them ended up in heaven with Him. So you get to choose. Where are you going? Where are you going? "The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and they found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Go with me to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to look at verse 26 through 28. Before all of this took place, there was the Lord's Supper, and Jesus was explaining what the bread was and what the cup was. And he says here in verse 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup. He gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. For the forgiveness of sin. Some people in here today, you're saying, you have no idea some of the things that I've done. And you're walking around, and because you can't feel forgiven, you can't receive forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. When Jesus says, I forgive you, Brenda Babe, whether you feel forgiven or not, doesn't make it that he didn't. He forgives you. What was the blood for? When they pierced his side and blood and water flowed, there was a purpose for the blood. Here it is, and he says it, for the forgiveness of sin. Somebody needs to walk out of here today knowing that you are forgiven. Amen. That you are forgiven. You have been on a fence. And you want to go on with your life, but you feel so darn bad about what you did. And if God can ever get you to receive that forgiveness, you be on your way. Amen. Receive it today. Receive it. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of sin. It doesn't matter what you did. It matters what He did. That's all that matters. I'm going to end with a story, and with my beautiful sister Casey and my beautiful niece Bella, they're going to sing here in a moment. How many of you still have your father living? Love on them all you can. Amen? The other day, how many of you like to eat? Praise God, I knew I liked y'all. I've been on an eating frenzy. I've been eating everything. I was ordering this romper, and I was going to order a medium, and I did. And I tried that thing on, and it was too snug in places I didn't like, so I sent it back, and I got a large, because I am not even going to try, Heather, until I get 40 years old. On my 40th birthday, I'm just going to try to have a clean slate and do better. I mean, I'm going to enjoy my birthday, but after that, I'm going to try. At least that's what I'm telling myself for right now. And I said, Dad, why don't you hang out with me for the day? This was Friday. So we hung out. I don't get to do that very much. I want to tell you it's important to do that. It's important. If you have some parents living and you're upset with them, you better really evaluate if you want to take that grudge to their grave. Amen? We were sitting there in Romas. How many of you have ever been to Romas? I feel the presence of God in that place. They're like, you get to have all the bread you want? I'll take it. We were sitting there, and I'm going to let you in on that humanity side of me. Because if I'm not careful, people put me on a pedestal that I can never live up to. And I've gone through a season the last 4 or 5 years that I've been pierced so bad on the inside of me and who I really am that I have had a very hard time moving forward in some ways. And I've been grieved in my heart because it doesn't matter how much I try. Jimmy, I feel like there's times where I'm in that place that I want to just go forward, but I feel stuck. And because of that, there ain't nobody on this planet that knows me better than Dad. Dad, raise your hand so people know who you are. He's sitting here on the front row. He's been on the front row my whole life. He's never missed a message. Nothing. And I'm going to admit to this because I'm just going to keep it real with y'all. There have been times over the past few years that I've just purposefully not gone and done things with him for one reason. Because he knows me so well that I've just had some days where I could do nothing but cry if I got around him. And I was feeling pretty good on Friday. So I was like, let's hang together. Let's go eat. We both love eating and we both love Italian food. So we get there and he starts ministering to me. He's been my pastor my whole life. He's still my pastor to this day. And there ain't nothing like sitting and talking to your pastor. Only thing better than that is sitting and talking to God. And he started to minister to me. And right there, I just broke. And I said, Dad, I want to go forward so bad. I did this to him one time in a breakfast place, and everybody started staring at us, and he said, Kelly, you're going to have to stop crying because everybody thinks I just broke up with you. I thought, you know what? You're right. People probably think we're a couple, and they probably think you just dumped me. And that's what he told me. But here's what he knows now. I'm a crier. And if something's wrong, I'm going to cry about it because that's just how I am. If I ever get so mad at you I'm crying, you just need to leave my presence, okay? Hallelujah. But I started crying, and we just had a moment. And he said something to me that was so sweet. And when he said it, I felt God saying, you tell that to all my kids at church. And it was this right here. He was looking at me. If you've ever had the pleasure of going out to lunch with Dad, I want you to start looking at what he does with his silverware. He's very proper. He gets his little knife and he scoops his salad. And I mean, man, hey, he's got some great table manners. He's scooping his salad. And he goes, Kel, we can have these talks as often as you want. As often as you want. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know. Because I'm not Jesus. But here's what I know. There's some of you, and what you really, really needed in your life is to have a talk with him. Amen. Have a talk with him. I'm going to ask you right now to bow your head. I'm going to ask you to have a conversation with them. As Casey and Bella make their way up here, you know, I'm not about show. If you've been away from him and you want to give your life back to him, that's a private conversation that you can have with him right now. But I'm going to ask you to have a talk. This song, I guarantee you, is going to minister to you. You can come to the altar. You can make an altar where you're at. You can do whatever you feel like God wants you to do. But I'm going to ask you, as they begin to sing this song, I'm going to ask you to open up that heart and begin to have a conversation with the Lord. Because he loves you so much. He wants you to walk out of here knowing how much he loves you, how much he cares for you. He brought you to this church with this crazy woman pastor that'll tell you it's okay to smoke and everything else. I want you to hear the important part. He loves you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He forgives you. Amen.